Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Be ready for that because I'm going to talk about waiting on the Lord today. And it's a big thing sometimes to be patient, isn't that right? Waiting on the Lord. And so I want to talk to you about your mature walk in the Lord and how do you come into maturity. And you know, we think about waiting on God's timing. We kind of think that the more in God we become and the longer we've been in it, the shorter our wait should be, right? Doesn't it kind of seem logical that when you start out, you got to have waiting on God's timing and all that kind of stuff. Waiting on God's timing becomes important to you and becomes part of your life. Hello. And so we want to talk about that. We're talking about the Bible is full of God's promises. Did you know that? And there are 31,102 verses in the King James Bible. How many counted them up already this week? Go home and you can verify that. 31,000, well, some of you that have King James Bibles like mine. And there are 7,487 promises that are made to man by God. And so you can count those up too. One other theologian said, well, there's over 30,000 promises. Well, if there's 31,000 scriptures in the Bible, that's every verse is a promise, right? But the promises of God are so important. We sang that song this morning. You know, I was in here the other day, and I said something about all the promises of God are yea and amen. And somebody young of generations just started cracking up. Did you hear what he said? All the promises are yea and amen. And they just laugh, and I said, what that means is all his promises are yes and amen. That's 21st century vernacular. But yea and amen if you're King Jameser. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him they are amen unto the glory of God by us. All of those promises. One songwriter put it this way, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every, come on, John, every line. That's an old song. I'm trusting in his love divine, every promise in the book is mine. We live in the day of instant gratification. How many of you know instant mashed potatoes is what you get sometimes, whether you want them or not? I think somebody ought to invent instant chunks to throw into instant mashed potatoes, right? So that you really won't know the difference because you're in it. Where's the chunks? Where's the chunks? Like grandma used to have. Instant mashed potatoes, microwave. I remember the first time I ever saw a microwave. And I was in the third grade, so that'll tell you that's been a few years back. And they come and they brought a microwave with that a light on the inside and the glass on the front. They pushed the button, and we watched the cake. Just go whoosh, and baked the cake in just a matter of seconds. Credit cards. Instant gratification. Isn't that great? How many remember your first one you got in the mail? This is for you. You have deserved it. You've earned it. You got $300 to go spend. How many know that took about 3 hours to get there and 10 minutes to spend it all? Instant gratification. Overnight shipping. How many of you be real honest to say, I'm just like you, Pastor Block. I'm willing to pay the extra money for overnight shipping. How many are willing to do that? I spend a lot of money doing that. I changed banks. Two or three times over banks that you have online banking and you have mobile check deposit, but it doesn't hit for a day or two. That's not good, right? We want instant deposit, bingo. So I went to my credit bureau and come to find out the minute I flash that on my phone, say, boom, it's deposit, I can spend it right there. FaceTime. How many's into that? I like face-to-face time. And, of course, fast food, everybody knows. I remember my first McDonald's. But I remember more my second McDonald's. The first one, I was on evangelistic team. I was serving as an evangelist at 14 years old, traveling the nation. And all of a sudden, somebody brought me a bag of McDonald's French fries. You know they're the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does anybody know that? McDonald's French fries are just like Jesus. That was really great. But the second time I had McDonald's, it was much better. Had my girlfriend with me. So that was an interesting time. You don't have to wait 7 minutes for mac and cheese anymore. It's how long? 1 minute. Say amen. Here's a headline. The train that will travel at the speed of sound. Boy, doesn't that sound interesting. South Korea is developing a public transport capable of hitting 620 miles an hour. Anybody seen the advertisings on that? And it's coming. Isn't that great? When I was in Korea, I was traveling at about 110 miles an hour from Seoul to Busan in a train. Well, that's going to change from about 120 to 620 miles an hour. Whoop, you're there. Seoul officials hope the mode of transportation will be able to travel more than 620 miles an hour. That train would operate in a low-pressure environment using a hypertube format. That's why it has to go 620 miles an hour, because you couldn't stand the claustrophobia for more than about 7 minutes, right? Travel 300 miles. It'll double the speed of a magnetic levitation train. Currently, the fastest train in the world now is 268 miles an hour. Whoosh, gonna go to 620 miles an hour. I like that. If they'd put it above ground, I'll consider it. We all seem to wish to transpose that thought pattern, instant gratification. We want to transpose that over into the promises of God. We want it, and we want it now. But the scriptures point us, as Brandon brought out last week, to another thought pattern. It's called waiting on God for God's timing. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, "You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." James 1:4 says, we're to let patience have her perfect work. In other words, patience is doing a work within us, that we may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Now think about that, how we always want stuff. There's always, I can't get no satisfaction, right? You know about that one. But if you let patience have a perfect work, you become perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The old saying, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now," doesn't work that way. This morning I want to share one of the greatest scriptures about rising into spiritual maturity. We need to grow up into God, rising into spiritual maturity. Here is a powerful scripture of how to become mature in God and everything in life. It says this, Isaiah 40, 31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint." How many of you know sometimes it takes some strength to move mountains? Sometimes it takes spiritual maturity to get through things, to move mountains. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." That equals spiritual maturity, so that you can mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. And you can write this down if you got a pencil somewhere that you didn't forget. Waiting on the Lord equates itself to having faith in God. Waiting on the Lord equates itself to having faith in God and having faith in God's timing. If you do anything with baking or anything like that, one of the reasons that I have problems with dinner rolls and homemade bread and all that is watching them lay there with a cloth over them. You got to wait for the yeast to create its work. When I was a young man last year, I started building model airplanes. Not last year, but when I was just a kid. The kind, you guys know what I'm talking about. Anybody here over 80 years old, you know what I'm talking about. There's the kind that you cut out and they got little tiny sticks. You lay them all out and they got little wings and all this kind of stuff. And you glue them together with Elmer's glue. And I like to put an airplane together and let it set and then start working again in a few minutes, but it don't work that way. You have to wait for that glue to set up and to its timing. Someone said a watched pot never. It's like putting in your Thanksgiving turkey and you're setting the timer and you say that turkey will be done at 1 p.m. and you decide to have turkey dinner at 10 a.m. Not good, right? How many ever tried to chew a raw turkey? 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are yea or yes, according to you. Yes and amen. We sang that this morning. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 says, we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. But we need to read the instructions on the package that says, Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord. Well, I wait on the Lord, but don't ask me to be happy about it. Huh? I'm only waiting on the Lord because he's not doing it yet. Amen? Look in the mirror. You'll get it. But it says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. What are you doing? I'm so glad I'm waiting on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't be a sourpuss while you're waiting on the Lord. Don't be a whiny pants. Don't be a giving up on the Lord. Don't be a quitter. They that wait on the Lord, renew their strength. Be of good courage. Somebody said, well, you go through troubles and trials. You don't even look like you're going through a trouble or trial. Why don't I? Or why don't others? Why don't you look like you're going through a trial? Because I'm of good courage. Because the promises of God are yea and amen. One place it says they are yea, yea, not horse, horse. You know what horse, horse is. Nay, nay. Be of good courage. And he'll strengthen your heart. All your emotional system will be strengthened. Sometimes we look like a Missouri mule eating oats out of a stovepipe because we're waiting on God. It's such a struggle to wait on God. It's not a struggle to wait on God. And as I said at the start of this sermon, some of you that are new in Jesus Christ, you're newbies, you're just waiting a little bit. You're waiting on God because that's the ingredient formula. That's how God strengthens us. The more mature you become, the more proficient you become at waiting on God. And the bigger the issue, the longer the wait, and the greater the value when it comes through with it. It's like having Christmas in November. As you wait on God, be of good courage. You don't do it like a sourpuss. You do it with joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I'll say it again, waiting on God's timing equates itself to having faith in God. You can say you have faith in God. This is how you live the reality of actually doing it. When you're waiting on the Lord, it requires not only time, but it requires some attributes. Attributes like trust. Waiting on the Lord requires trust. That we trust in His way and we trust in His time. Requires trust. You won't always understand and appreciate how long He's taking or how He's doing it, but it requires trust in Him. It requires humility. Waiting on the Lord also requires that we acknowledge that His timing and His way is better than my way. Have you ever been around somebody that always can show you a better way of doing it? Here, let me show you how to do that. Here, that ain't good enough. Let me show you. Let me fix that for you. I'm good at this. That's how we approach God. It takes humility. Okay, God, I'll do it your way. I trust to do it your way. It's like the little four-year-old kid that went in and cleaned up his room, and mama came in and gave him a spanking. He didn't do it good enough, right? Requires humility. And it requires patience. Patience that He will provide exactly what is planned at exactly the right moment. And although the wait may be long, His best is always worth the delay. Would you say amen to that? Now give somebody a high five. Say, I don't like this stuff. Here's an attribute that you're going to have if you're going to wait on the Lord and become mature. You're going to have courage. Imagine the yellow brick road. Waiting on the Lord requires fortitude to resist the temptation to take matters into your own hands. Wow. Have you ever taken matters into your own hands? Figured out that wasn't the smartest thing to do. It's going to take courage to let God do it instead of picking up the ball and trying to play the game all by yourself. And it's going to take courage to stick your fingers in your ears. Stick your fingers in your ears. It's going to take courage not to bow down to the advice of the stupid people around you that will tell you things like, I wouldn't put up with that. If they did that to me, I'll tell you how I'd handle this. Well, this is what I did. I showed them. Yeah, you showed them, all right. You showed them the back end of a donkey going south. You got to take courage not to yield to the pressure of other people. Because other people are real quick to offer advice. But we must follow God's will, not theirs. Now, there's a difference in confirmation and fleshly advice. Now, you can take this or leave it, and some of you will get it and some of you won't. But not everybody has the ability to hear from God how you should handle your problems. You know why? Because God's going to tell you to handle how to handle your problems. He's not going to use some second class advice giver. God wants to talk to you personally and lead you. And so you can almost, can I stretch myself way out here and tell you that you can almost always depend upon the negative advice of people around you to be wrong according to God's will? Say, well, I thought you're supposed to have confirmations and all that kind of stuff. We should have confirmations. Well, look it. If you go to enough people with the same problem long enough, you will soon or later find someone who will agree with your stupidity. Say, well, how do I get confirmations then? Well, that's why you need to have a pastor. Because if you haven't figured it out yet, most people haven't, but some people have. That if you lend yourself to a body of Christ, and God has put a shepherd over it, that shepherd will hold confirmation codes from God. And a wise shepherd won't stand around and tell you what to do and where to go and how far to jump. And a wise shepherd won't do that. But after you've sought the will of God and you have courage to wait upon the Lord and you have patience and you have all this good timing and everything and you want to have some kind of confirmation, and you've submitted yourself to a body of Christ. See, that's why church hoppers are shooting their feet off. Usually feet shooters are people that will be in a church just long enough to find out that the Lord's in charge of that church, not them. And they'll dismiss themselves. And they'll go from church to church to church. And the problem with that is that they lose a shepherd who holds the confirmation codes to their questions of life. And you take it all the way back over there, and you can understand it from this side. Because there are more than one group of confirmation code holders. Parents hold the confirmation codes for their children. They won't boss them around. They won't misuse them. They won't mishandle them. They'll use things like, well, they'll learn. Godly parents. Say godly parents. See, there's two types of spankings. There's a spanking from a godly parent, and then there's a spanking from an ungodly parent. And a spanking from an ungodly parent drives bitterness in. The more an ungodly parent spanks their child, the meaner they get. But a spanking or a correction word or verbal or physical or any kind of spanking from a godly person drives foolishness from the heart of the child. Why is that? Because a parent holds the confirmation code for a child's life to a certain age. So we're talking about taking confirmation, good advice. Where do you get it? Well, you get it from the Lord. and take courage. Paul said, after I found out the will of God, immediately, Paul said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. You know why that is? Because human nature has this garbage can mentality of we've never done it that way before. Our house has always been painted yellow. And if you want to get your good idea set on fire and quenched, just mention it to somebody. Well, I'm going to be a millionaire someday. Oh, I thought of that too. I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 13. And now guess what? I'm 113, and I haven't got a nickel to rub together. So you'll never be a millionaire. See, if you don't watch yourself on the promises of God, you can be believing God for a miracle, believing God for a miracle. Your shepherd and godly people around you says, yes, keep believing God for a miracle. He's faithful and just, and he's right in there, and he'll come through. The promises of God are yea, yea, and yes, yes to them that love the Lord. But some naysayer says, well, I'd take matters into my own hands because that ain't never going to work anyway. I've tried that. Didn't work. I want an instant gratification. But God says, I want you to grow up a little bit. But when I get you where I want you, and I'm going to get them where I want them, then I'll give you the answer to your prayer. You'll mount up with wings as eagles, and run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Are you getting the message today? Romans 12:1 says this. See, there's some holiness that prerequisites receiving the answers from the Holy One. Does that make sense? If you're going to live like the devil, expect to get answers from the devil. But if you're going to live like God, if you're going to live in holiness, then expect to get answers from the Holy One of Israel. So Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 56, is it? Yeah, 55, chapter 5. I want you to concentrate on this, and then I'll preach a little bit, okay? Seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Sound like a good idea? Now here's the holy thing again. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. See, say, well, God never answers my prayers. No. Well, abandon your wicked way of life, abandoned. In other words, come to Jesus. Let them come back to God, who's merciful. Come back to our God, who's lavish with forgiveness. Do you know when you come to God, when you come back to God, everything that you've ever done in the past is completely forgotten and forgiven. It's over. It does not exist. Some unholy people will tell you, yeah, they'll make you guilty the rest of your life. But good, God-loving, believing Bible Christians will forgive you too. So you're forgiven by God. You're forgiven by your Christians around you, your mate. You're forgiven by everybody, your children. Now you got to forgive yourself. Because forgiveness is lavish upon us. God says in verse 8, I don't think the way you think. Thank God for that. The way you work isn't the way I work, God says. Beep. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work, God says, surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, You know, the rain just doesn't hit and go back. It waters the earth. It has a purpose. Doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seeds for farmers and food for the hungry. So will the words that come out of my mouth won't come back to empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them, my words. So you will go out in joy. You'll be led into a whole complete life. The mountains and the hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession. Can you say amen to that? Exuberant with applause. No more thistles. No, but giant sequoias. No more thorn bushes. But stately pines. Monuments to me, to God. Living and lasting evidence of God. Amen. Can you say amen to that? You think it's worth waiting on God's timing? I think it is. And so today, I want to sum up waiting on God's timing with Isaiah 40 and verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. And as you adopt this biblical pattern of living, this scripture has four things in it. Mark 11, 23. But first it says, you will renew your strength as you wait upon the Lord. Did you know that what promises you're waiting for is renewing you in your strength? Your spiritual strength, your mental strength, even your physical strength is being renewed as you're waiting on the Lord. Then why sit around whining because he hadn't fulfilled the promise yet? Waiting on the Lord has a purpose, and God has a plan for that. Mark 11, 23 says, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea." Here's the waiting process. "And will not doubt in his heart, but shall continue to believe those things, what he has said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith." What does that go back to? All the promises of God are yea and amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen in him. If you don't doubt it in your heart, don't quit the wait. You believe. Keep on believing. Waiting on the Lord equates itself to having faith. "You shall have whatsoever you say." Amen? That's how I got Nancy Joe. "You shall mount up with wings as eagles." I want to have wings of eagles. Eagles fly high altitudes. And eagles don't fly with low-flying birds like sparrows and other small birds. Someone said you can't fly like an eagle if you're running with the turkeys. If you want to be an eagle Christian, you fly with other eagles. Not with sparrows and vultures and turkeys. Eagles have a strong vision. They tell me that they have the ability to focus on an object up to 3 miles away. I just got back from Canada. When we were up in Canada, we watched those eagles. They're just soaring around out there, and all of a sudden, they just start down. They don't go this way. straight down. 620 miles an hour, faster than the speed of sound, maybe, I don't know. And can pick up a minnow that you took off of your hook and threw in the water. And that eagle can swoop down and pick that minnow up, just like that. Eagles have strong vision. And when the eagle sets his sights on a prey, he will not move his focus from the prey until he successfully captures it. And when you set your vision on a promise, you need to focus on that promise and don't turn to the left or to the right. Focus on that promise. Keep your eye on it. And 620 miles an hour, faster than the speed of sound, you keep heading to that promise and you don't take your eye off it until you capture it. Can you say amen to that one? Eagles feed on only fresh prey. They never eat dead things. Vultures eat dead animals, but eagles will not. Be careful about what you feed your eyes and ears with, especially on the internet, movies, and TV. And when you get a naysayer, and I hope to God you're not one of them, the Bible says we're not supposed to receive an accusation against an elder. But the first person that ever sends me a piece of trash about our president, I don't care if it's Obama, George Washington, the greatest of all, Donald guy. And if somebody wants to trash feed your Facebook, you don't just unfollow them. You unfriend them. And there are people, all they send is negative junk. You're not going to be an eagle eating dead meat and roadkill and other people's craps. Thank you, Brandon, for giving me that holy word. And I'll just, can I meddle a little bit? Who says I can meddle? Raise your hand a minute. I'm going to tell you something. When you get people that quit your church and don't like your church and they don't like your pastor and they don't like your children and they don't like the tough words you're preaching, unfriend them suckers. I've had people 25 years ago try to destroy this church. And there are some people that call themselves Christians are still communicating with the devil inside of them. Because when they attacked your people, when they attacked your doctrine, when they attacked your shepherd, they're attacking the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, are they good people? I don't know. They don't act like it. I'm a good people, and I know how good people act. And they're not finger pointers. And they're not critical. And they don't bark at the first somebody that says, oh, that, you see? We're supposed to be living epistles, read and known by all men. Not living news reporters that nobody can trust. Are you a Mount Zion Christian or are you a Mount Sion Christian? I'm excited. You said, why don't you quit early, Pastor? I should quit early because I'm going to steak dinner as soon as I put this down. And I'm going to watch line dancers and I'm going to pat and sing along with them. So you see, I'm in a hurry too. Don't get me wrong here. And I'm going to have peanuts, and I'm going to throw peanut shells on the floor. So I want to get out of here too, but I got to finish what God has to tell you today, because we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to take up the sword of the Spirit. That's where you have victory. Number four. I've only got six. Thank God for that. Clap the Lord again. Here's what an eagle does, and this is what I really loved. I love to see an eagle do this. When the storm starts coming in, the eagle starts rising. The stronger the storm, the higher they go. Hello. Come on, storm. Come on, storm. I'm rising higher. Don't you love it on a 35-mile-an-hour windy day? 85 degrees, not 32 degrees. Let's put that one aside. And you walk out, you go out here and you see these birds just flying. And isn't that beautiful? You see, a Christian is like an eagle. The stronger the storm, the higher the eagle flies. And they enjoy every minute of it. Soar through those problems like they don't even exist, but they are made for your glory to give you strength and make you have wings like eagles. Won't you stand up with me, please? Brennan and I felt, and our staff, as we talked about what to preach about and what does the congregation need, and listen to the Spirit, and we pray, and we spend hours praying about what to feed our congregation, feed the sheep. We felt the last two Sundays we want to talk about waiting on God's timing. And today I'm going to ask you to come into this altar, if you would say to this church, I'm really having a problem with this. My anxiety is at a high level. My distrust is at a higher level than my trust. I'm going through storms at times and I can't go higher. I go down with the vultures and I go down with the sparrows and hide in the bushes. But I want to rise above. And I want to have the ability. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord in me rises up. Hello. Causes me to be victorious. Say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me this morning. I want to be a different kind of person than I really am. I've become negative in God, and I want to be positive because of God. Would you come down here, Brandon, come and help me? Come on, you said, I'm serious about this. You say, you know what? I want to be a victorious Christian. I want to be victorious. When people look at me, I want them to see strength. Go ahead, would you just begin to pray for me? I want people to see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in me. I want to be a city set on a hill. Congregation, you can just be seated out there and just kind of stretch your hands out and help us pray for these people, would you? Those of you that are out there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we claim the victory. We claim, Lord Jesus, that we will rise up. We will rise up with strength, and we will rise up with a positive nature. We will rise up and stand on the promises of God. And we will not waver. We will not be blown about by every wind of doctrine. We will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And Lord, wherever you lead us, that's exactly where we shall go. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, touch our lives today, Jesus. Touch our lives today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.